big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 3. I'm Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this is Paranormality UK. Okay, so, my case. I mentioned last week that I was going to be doing what is quite possibly England's most haunted house.
Oh.
And I didn't reveal the name of it, but now I can tell you that the house is called Borley Rectory.
Oh, not too far from here.
Not too far from here. No, it is in East Anglia. Otherwise known as Borley Manor sometimes. There was a film made, I think back in the 70s or 80s. It was called The Haunting of Borley Manor. I believe that everything in that film was entirely fabricated.
None of it's real.
None of it is real. But it was based on the building that the case study is for today. Borley Manor, or Borley Rectory, was constructed on the site of the old rectory, which burned down in 1841, I think it was. And ever since it was first built, it was occupied by Reverend Henry Bull and his family. He had 14 children.
He was busy.
Yeah, it's a big house. It's got like 32 rooms, 11 bedrooms. I'm not sure how that works out when there's, 16 people in 11 bedrooms. But, you know, with 32 rooms, I'm sure you can, you know, shuffle a few into other rooms. But ever since it was sort of first constructed, there were rumours of just sort of strange goings on in the house. Locals believe that it was haunted. They always stories of like footsteps being heard when nobody was about, although with 14 children in the house, again, footsteps are not going to be surprising, are they?
Yeah, it could be any one of them walking down the stairs.
But that was it. From early days, really, the that there were always reports of minor hauntings, nothing major throughout the time of the Bulls living there. When Reverend Bull died, he was succeeded by his son, who was also called Henry Bull, although everybody called him Harry. Slightly different there.
With 14 children, are we going to get confused with the different names? Or do all 14 children come into this?
No. In fairness, out of those 14 children, only four of them ever actually had anything like a sort of paranormal experience at the house, where the four of the daughters were outside playing in the gardens and they saw the apparition of a nun. Ooh. About 40 yards away down the garden. And they tried calling out to the nun and getting closer, but it just disappeared. Mm. Which is a very strange event.
Yeah.
But that is the only sort of, apart from footsteps and just minor things like that, that was the only reports from those early days. When the Bulls were no longer in the rectory, I believe that when the second Reverend Bull, Harry Bull, died, it was vacant for about a year. And then it was succeeded by the Smiths. I think it was the Smiths. Yeah, the Smiths. On the 14th of July, 1929.
Not the band, the Smiths.
The band. It was Reverend Smith and his wife.
I've got two questions already.
Yeah?
What's a rectory?
A rectory? Okay, yeah. I suppose, yeah, that's a valid question. A rectory is the house that is given to the reverend of a church. So this is only just down the road from a small church. It's only a small village. The rectory, in this case, is quite a big manor house. I guess back in like old times, the church had a lot more money to put into that sort of thing. The reverend's house and whatnot. So rectories are generally quite nice houses. You know, they're the nice, big, spacious places. Mm-hmm. And this rectory is like quite a large Gothic style building.
Oh, nice.
Looks quite imposing. If you go onto Wikipedia and scroll right the way down to the bottom of the page, there's links to an extensive library of photographs of the place. And I'll tell you this, looking at those photographs, if this place isn't haunted, it should be,
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That looks like a classic, especially that one. That looks like a classic haunted house. So it's almost like when there's a school and then the caretaker lives in a house next door.
Yeah, kind of like that. The rectory is the home for the vicar. It went through several different vicars and nothing really was happening other than like a couple of strange occurrences, like the footsteps and the nun that was seen in the garden. Reverend Foister took over.
That's a mouthful of a name.
Foister? Foister. Yeah, it's a very strange name. He lived there from 1878 to 1945 with his wife Marianne and their adopted daughter. Now, was it them? No, sorry. It was the Smiths. The Smiths before them. When they were going through the house, the Mrs. Smith found a brown package containing what was found to be the skull of a young woman. Mm. And soon after she found that, they started having a lot more reports of just things happening, more footsteps. Things being thrown around the house, writing appearing on the walls, lights appearing in windows when there was nobody in, and stuff like this. And even she was the woman that reported to see a horse-drawn carriage with two headless horsemen.
Oh.
I mean, that's ramped up now, isn't it? You know,
that's stepped up.
That gives you, that makes me goosebumps, you know.
Yeah, there's something about a headless horseman.
There is, isn't there? You know, yeah. And I don't know what it is, but when the story ramps up that fast and that hard, you think there's got to be something. That's a skull.
Yeah,
you know, all this activity starts going on, and they contacted the Daily Mirror to try and get hold of the Society for Psychical Research. They wanted someone to come out and assess the place. The Daily Mirror sent out a man called Harry Price. And he did a lot of psychical investigations. He even wrote two books about Bawley Rectory. Okay. And he is the man that declared it the most haunted house in England.
Oh, and this, so, this is back in the 1800s?
This is about 1920.
1920. Okay, yeah, you said it. The first people, was it Henry and Harry Bull?
Bull, yeah, they're dead by now. And this is the Smiths, I believe.
So this has been haunted for a long time.
Yeah. It's been going on for a long time. The house only stood for about 100 years, because it was actually demolished in 1944. So there's no way you can sort of visit the place anymore. You can go to the grounds, but you're not going to find much there anymore.
So it's almost like when they found the skull, it kind of lifted a curse in a way.
Or set one going. It did exactly that. But anyway, paranormal researcher Harry Price made his first visit on the 12th of June in 1929, sorry. And all sorts started happening then. That was when the stones started being thrown and vases started being around the room. There were messages being written on picture frames and stuff like that. But apparently, as soon as Harry Price left, all this phenomena stopped happening. Mrs. Smith thought that he was probably the actuator of a lot of the reports that he was coming out with. You know,
staging
he was faking it. Yeah. And again, if you look at that list of pictures on Wikipedia, you follow the link to the page of the archive pictures. Harry Price is the first picture on there. The guy looks shady. He doesn't have a beard. You can't trust him. You can't trust a man without a beard.
You can't. He looks a bit like Vinnie Jones to me.
Yeah, he does, yeah. But he is the guy that sort of created all this hype about the place. And eventually the Society for Psychical Research wanted to go out to the place and do an independent investigation. And they sent a guy out with Harry Price. Who was he? Charles Sutton, that's him.
Okay.
And when he went out there, he was hit in the back of the head with a pebble.
Right.
Seemingly from nowhere. So he turned around and accused Harry Price of doing it. And Harry Price was like, no, no, it wasn't me. But then Sutton found he'd got a pocket full of stones.
Well, Price had a pocket full of stones. Price and his stones.
So, I mean, you know, it's gone from, for me, you've got a few reports of just like some footsteps and stuff like that. Then this skull gets found and things do start being seen, the headless horseman and that sort of thing. Then the researchers come in and things just escalate like crazy. You know, this guy's finding all sorts of things being thrown, things being written on the wall. Mm-hmm. There is even reports from some other psychical researchers saying that they'd done a seance about in the place and they had reached the nun that the children had supposedly seen. And her story was that I think she'd had an affair with a local monk, or it might have even been a reverend or something like that. And now this is a bit of a far-fetched story, but she was supposedly buried alive, bricked into the walls of the basement.
She didn't try and fight back. She just...
Yeah. Yeah, no, she didn't. Also, but
that's very naughty for a nun and a monk to be having an affair.
Well, yeah, which is maybe why she was given such stern punishment for it. But in any case, when the building was demolished in 1944, they never found any bones.
Yeah, okay.
So the story of the nun is, I don't know, it's not so plausible.
It's a cool story.
It is a cool story, but I'm not sure it's really valid.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, like I say, the place was encapsulated by fire in 1944 or in the early 40s, and it was eventually demolished. And although people do still visit the site, I'm told, or I believe on at times like solstice and Halloween, people still go out to the church particularly and would like to sit in the grounds to see if they find any ghosts, I guess, and, you know, other paranormal stuff. You know what the researchers are like. They'll go anywhere, won't they?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but I'm sure most haunted went there.
They quite possibly did, actually, yeah. To the church and the grounds.
Yeah, and a few years ago, I remember hearing stories of people, just normal people, just going to have a look because they've been told and heard the stories of Bawley Manor.
Yeah, well, it's interestingly enough, I was going to go there myself last year. This is when I first started looking into the place last year. Mm-hmm. Because I obviously have another YouTube channel called Pirate FPV, where I go around the place flying my little little radio controlled drone.
Nice little plug there.
Yeah, and abandoned buildings and stuff can be quite fun to fly little drones around. Because unless a building is abandoned, you're not supposed to be flying drones around it anyway. So me and my friend were looking into sort of abandoned buildings around the area, and he suggested Bawley Manor just because of the history, or like the rectory and that. Like, and so we started looking into it and found it wasn't there anymore. So we never went, but I believe it is a popular place for paranormal researchers to still go.
Yeah, yeah.
And research. I don't know if they find anything or if they don't. I can't tell you, but it is still quite a popular place for them to go.
If you did fly your drone in a haunted place, that would be the best adrenaline rush you'd have.
What a dad joke.
Sorry.
That's why I keep you on this podcast.
I couldn't resist. I've been thinking about that for the last 30 seconds. I'm going to get it in.
Fair enough. Yeah. It would be a brilliant adrenaline rush, yes. But anyway, that is Bawley Manor, of a Bawley Rectory, said to be the most haunted place in England until the Society for Psychical Research, or the SPR, went out there after Price's death in 1948. Oh, no, that was, yeah, sorry, that's when Charles Sutton came out and said about him hitting the stone and having a pocket full of stones. But, yeah, basically everything, all the phenomena was either faked due to natural occurrences or by people literally trying to trick each other and stuff. In fact, Reverend Foister's wife used paranormal, all this paranormal stuff that was going on as an excuse to cover her actions because she was actually having an affair with their lodger.
Wow. Everyone's having an affair around this place.
it's bad, isn't it?
It's a love ghost,
but
it?
Yeah, I basically, everything seems, everything seems like it was actually like made up or just hearsay, apart from the footsteps that were like right at the start.
There's got to be at least a smidgen of truth with the first guy, the bulls.
That's what I'm thinking. And with the skull, I mean, these were the people that called in the paranormal researchers. So, I mean, there was surely more to the story. It can't be that the whole thing is just debunked.
Yeah.
And fake. That is the report on Wikipedia. But, I mean, when you dive into it, you know, locals from the area, they knew, they believed that the old rectory was haunted, which is the site where the new rectory was built. So the haunting sort of carried on through. The ghost of the nun was apparently well known in the area. And footsteps were regularly heard by not just the people that lived there, but people visiting as well. So I think there has got to be some truth to this haunting.
There has to be.
I'm going to say now that I think the classification of it being the most haunted house in England should be removed.
Yeah, I mean, you've got that kind of reputation.
Particularly when you've got a beardless psychic investigator who's making it all up.
Yeah.
And he was the one that declared it as the most haunted house in England. I mean, he's untrustworthy. We can't take that as gospel, can we?
You can't trust old pebble throwing Price, can you?
No, you can't.
Pocket full of pebbles.
Because, like, I mean, that guy, even though he was the one that was trying to ramp it up and oh, this is the most haunted house I've ever been in, sort of thing, you know, our paranormality scale, we'd be reaching an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
But he's made it all up. So it's like, oh, now we're on 2.
Yeah. And, I mean, everybody could say everything's a hoax when it comes to this kind of stuff. But that's why we're here, is to discuss and try and maybe focus on the more creepy things and the small smidgen of truth that is there. Because if you looked at Wikipedia for every story, I'm sure they'd say this was debunked, this is a hoax, this has happened.
Wikipedia does seem to class everything as a hoax, or debunk it eventually. Yeah, I guess because it's such a fact-based website, it doesn't want to do the actual paranormal side of things, because it is more of an, right, this is academically what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that last year when I was looking into it, it was kind of like a Mandela effect for me, because I can remember reading so much more, like the photographs of when it was being demolished. I'm sure I read a story that the guy taking the photographs had like bricks thrown at him as he was photographing the place. I mean, I can't find it anymore. I don't know where that article was. I can't find it on the internet anymore. It seems to have disappeared.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I've read a load more stories that I just can't find anymore. Well, it's such a strange thing.
You're not alone in that, because I remember hearing what you said about the nun in the wall.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that story, but it was a nurse, not a nun.
Oh. Like,
and I got told that Bawley Rectory, obviously I didn't do my research or anything at the time, you just hear stories and you're like, oh cool, that's kind of cool. So I got told it was like an old hospital kind of thing, and it was nurses, but it's not, it's to do with religion and church and
yeah, I mean, so. And there again is the another point that I wanted to make was, this is a house with very much religious people living in it, and for it to be the most haunted house in England, I just don't see those two things tying together.
Yeah.
You know, I can believe that, you know, there's spirits on the land, you know, in the vicinity of the place that might be, make themselves known with the footsteps.
Mm.
The Headless Horseman, it's quite a stretch to believe that one, but it was reported by some of the earlier people living there. So, I mean, do you disregard that or don't you?
Yeah. Did you say it was the daughters or the wife that saw the headless?
It was the wife that saw the headless one. Yeah.
So I was going to say, if it was the daughters, it's almost a bit more believable, because we've discussed young children and things seem to have more of a connection with the spiritual world.
Yeah, they do, so generally.
It would be more believable if you heard, oh, the daughters all saw this headless horseman or this figure. But the other thing I want to say to you is the Price, Harry Price.
Yeah.
He almost made the story go from this spooky, haunted ghost to this ramped up poltergeist that's angry. And he kind of completely flipped it round to make it less believable.
And why would you have such an evil entity in such a religious household?
Yeah. It'd be a nice ghost, wouldn't it?
You'd think so.
And maybe it started off as a love ghost, because all these people were having affairs. It's just a nice, friendly Casper the Love Ghost. And then Harry Price has come along, made it into a poltergeist. And
suddenly you've got Amityville Horror right there.
Yeah.
And it's all down to that one man. You know, everyone from the Society for Psychical Research. I mean, whether they had like positive identifications of ghosts or anything like that, I it remains unsure. But they seem to debunk almost all of it. They're just like, nah, this is stories, it's hearsay, it's, you know, it can't be real.
Yeah.
But that's what they're there for, isn't it? A lot of the
skeptics,
time.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they are. A lot of them skeptics. So,
I mean, I think if you deep dive into anything, there's going to be someone that says, oh, it was a window that was cracked open. It must have been the wind. And
It
wouldn't have been footsteps. It was the pipes. And there's always...
Well, this is such an old house that it didn't have plumbed in water or electricity. This is the reason why it got burnt down, because they used to use like the little gas lights, you know. You light the wick.
Lanterns.
The little lantern. You got to slide the glass over the top. And one of them fell over and set the place on fire. May have been an insurance job. We don't know.
They had insurance back in those days.
I'm sure they did. They must have done.
No electricity, but insurance.
I mean, rattling pipes. It's not going to be rattling pipes.
Yeah.
So footsteps. If you're hearing footsteps upstairs and everybody's downstairs, what else can it be? I can't think of anything.
One of the many 14 children.
That's the only thing, the only other explanation, isn't it?
It's the only thing I could think of.
Otherwise, you are having to push up that paranormality scale, which...
Yeah.
Up until now, with Harry Price, with his grey area, I mean, how do we rate this now?
I mean, it's so frustrating because there's clearly... something missing, or there's a disconnect, because like you say, you've got the reputation of the most haunted place in Britain, and it couldn't have come from just a few footsteps and stuff.
It can't come from nothing.
Yeah, like how do you, for over hundreds of years, you've got this reputation, and we're still talking about it today.
Yeah.
In 2022, and this was what, 1841?
Yes, like nearly 60 years after it was demolished. 1944 it was demolished.
Yeah. So something doesn't add up to me. So just based on that, mine's going up a little notch. I've got faith in it.
Yeah.
No pun with the faith. I'm thinking more positive because I don't want to take this information and this awesome story and think, oh, well done, Harry. You messed it up for everyone else and now the ghost is off. He's left.
Bye-bye. But no, I think with the skull... And the fact that the Smiths actually contacted the Daily Mail and said, can you send someone out to investigate this? Because we're having things happen. You know, initially, with the Bull families, they only had like the footsteps, just very small stuff. But once that skull was found, you know, someone wanted something found out about this place. You know, they wanted to get to the bottom of it. And then just because the wrong man was sent out...
Yeah.
You know, it's suddenly become this whole menagerie of, stuff happening.
Yeah. Do we know where the skull came from?
It was in one of the cupboards in the house. She was clearing out some of the cupboards and found this little brown paper package and unwrapped it to reveal a skull.
So no one knows who the skull is?
Maybe that is the nun. Who knows?
Oh.
She wasn't bricked up inside a wall. She was dismembered and put into brown paper packaging and stuck in a kitchen drawer.
Well, you've brought it full circle now. That's gone up another notch for me. I'm just ignoring the Harry Price stuff. I'm like, get out of my brain.
That is the thing. The main thing with Bawley Rectory is Harry Price has just... You've got to cut him out of it completely because he just ruined... Well, he's made the reputation of it, but he's also ruined it at the same time by faking his own investigation. But there's still underlying stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least footsteps, at least a headless horseman.
Yeah. But things being thrown, was it stones, bricks?
I'm not sure if the stones were just from Harry Price. But like I said, the article that I found last year where the photographer had bricks thrown at him.
Mm.
I can't find that article again now. It seems to have disappeared from the internet. But, I mean, maybe it is just in a page that's disappeared because the domain's run out or something. But, I mean, there is still stuff going on outside of Harry Price's research.
Yeah, I'd like to do a seance to bring Harry Price back to spin kick him for ruining
call him such a lion bastard.
Yeah. Well, well done, mate. You've ruined it all for all of us.
So. But yeah, I mean, even discounting the Harry Price stuff, for me, I still want to rate it probably around 3 or 4 paranormal.
3 or 4? I thought you were
going to go going higher?
I want to give it a little bit more because it's local to us. Well, kind of local.
Yeah.
And like with the reputation of being one of the most haunted places or the most haunted place in Britain, I just feel like there is an underlying element of that. There's something. There's something there, and it's frustrating.
It's like you can almost get hold of it, but you can't.
Yeah.
You know?
You can't pinpoint what point in time it was ruined. And I'm going to give it a 5.
A 5?
Yeah.
Solid 5?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's also when growing up in the area, we've always heard stories of Bawley Rectory. And
yeah, yeah.
You wanted to go there. I wanted to go there. And I never went because I was too scared. I heard the stories and I was like, no, thanks.
Getting run over by a headless horseman.
Yeah, no headless horseman. I don't want any nurses and nuns reaching up the wall at me and throwing bricks at my head. So, yeah, growing up and hearing those stories and things, I was creeped out, let alone just hearing the stories. And that for me isn't that what it's all about? It's hearing the stories. And getting the goosebumps and the creepiness and the myths. And
it is, and that's what we're here for. I mean, we are not paranormal investigators. We're just a couple of Joes who like talking about it.
Yeah, we've always had strange conversations and we've always been interested in this. And we're just two mates chatting about it. You will not find me going to investigate anything.
No.
Definitely.
I've had enough creepy stuff happen in my life that I don't need to go looking for it.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel. So I'm quite happy to talk about it and have little discussions about it and, you know, try and make a few jokes and make it a bit more lighthearted. Because I don't think paranormal stuff has to be all scary and spooky like most haunted, you know, with the green light and the...
yeah.
You're trying to make the place look spookier than it really is.
My favourite thing about most haunted is... When is it Yvette?
Yeah,
the woman. Fielding. When she used to go, copy me, wee. there would be no response. But that was my favourite bit of Most Haunted.
And,
yeah, because I just found it so entertaining. But I was always watching it, hoping that one day there would just be a ghost in the distance going, wee. Just responding.
I'm sure they
to
did.
It.
They used to do the little whistle, didn't they?
Yeah, see, the whistles, there has been a couple of times.
Yeah.
But it was when she was actually making, like, weird kind of noises that it never seemed to work. But I just found it amazing. When
didn't she do, like, Ring a Ring of Roses or something several times trying to get them to...
God bless her.
It was very entertaining stuff.
Yeah.
And they are even still going on YouTube nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a Most Haunted fan and you a little bit sad because they're not on the TV anymore, you can catch up with them on YouTube.
Yeah, and to be fair, they had some cracking episodes.
They did.
We watched a few and we were scared watching it at break time.
Definitely, particularly one of my most favourite ones was 30 East Drive.
Yes, yeah, the Black Monk.
Yeah, we could do an episode on that one.
Oh, we're definitely going to do an episode on that.
Yeah.
Because that gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Do I want to visit the place? No.
No, 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 no. No.
But, yeah, it's definitely worth a good discussion.
Yeah, yeah. I do remember that one. That's a very good one. So
I'm sticking to my guns. I think Bawley Manor, yes, it's got a reputation. There's definitely something tangible there that has happened in the past. Harry Price has kind of ruined it, but I still think it's got that underlying... A good solid 4 out of 10.
I'm happy you said 4. I thought you were going to go 3, and I thought, no, it's too low. Too low for Bawley. But I'm happy with the 4. 4 and a 5. That's
you're 4 and a 5. So I mean, we average at 4.5.
Yeah.
4.5 out of 10. I'd say that's fairly decent.
We should start doing that every episode. From now on, we should make an average. So we go in between mine and yours. I don't know what we've not discussed that before.
Well, we kind of did on one of them. Where I went 7 and you went 8, or I went 7.5, and it ended up on 7 3/4, I think.
I can't do math.
But okay, yeah. Well, 4.5 out of 10 average. the paranormality scale rocks.
Yes, I'm quite happy with that, considering Harry Price ruined it.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about it. What prick?
Well, you just can't trust a man without a beard, can you?
No, you can't.
Okay.
And smoking a pipe the way he was.
Mm. Yeah, it's just not right.
No.
So anyway, if you've enjoyed the episode, please tune in next week. You see what kind of bandana I'm wearing, if that's all you're interested in. If you want your stories aired on our channel, then write to us at paranormality.uk@gmail.com. And one of us will get back to you whether we like your story and might get featured. We definitely want to do some more of those.
Yes.
So 100%. Get writing and we'll see you next time.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
One-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
If you were listening to this podcast whilst waiting for a flight, would you be relaxing in a premium airport lounge? No? Then start your journey with Oneworld, a leading alliance of world-class airlines. Reach top-tier status with a Oneworld member airline's frequent flyer program, and you can enjoy an array of benefits, including priority check-in and boarding, and access to nearly 700 premium airport lounges around the world. Discover more at oneworld.com. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.